You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. Now, in the house, in the house is the great Greg Evans,
Well, it's nice to be here, Sam.
Yeah, good on you. And Ivan. Now, Ivan, come here, Ivan. And this is Ivan. This is not
who
not,
is Ivan?
This is not his real name, but I call him Ivan because someone who used to be here think he looks like Ivan Milat.
This is great, isn't it?
Which makes his missus goes. She goes feral when
Ivan's
Ivan.
Ivan's a good looking character. He's just done some nasty things in the past.
Oh, really? Yeah. Right. Here. Right. Yeah.
I'm running with that.
That's Ivan, and we've got Simon O'Donnell coming in, the great sod.
Yes.
He's coming
Simon,
in.
Simon, now he's progressed onto real estate, has he now?
He's selling. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But he's gone from adjusting horses or training him or.
Jeez, he nearly won a Melbourne Cup too, didn't he?
Did he?
He did.
And you've just come down from.
The bush
from down the Hume Highway. Did you get detoured off the Hume Highway?
No. The Hume Highway was giving a very good run today.
Well, luckily you weren't coming back on last Saturday. I spoke at a function in Benalla and drove home in the afternoon and got down to about Craigieburn, and there's a big detour sign. We and everyone else who was coming down from Sydney, B-doubles, transporters, cars, trucks, taxis, we all had to detour through 42 different suburbs that ended up under the Dandenongs before they routed us back onto the Hume Highway. And I thought, if you've come down from Sydney and you thought, oh, there's the city, we've got another half hour to go. No, don't be mistaken. You had another hour on up your dress by the time you... why they would have to reroute people off the Hume Highway? Just some floodplain work it was. Surely in this day and age you can bore tunnels under the... talking of tunnels.
I came in on the Eastern Freeway today. Now, do you remember when Daniel Andrews stopped that tunnel and
stopped the project?
At the end of the Eastern Freeway. And
fraudulently.
You know, correct me if I'm
gain
wrong.
Gain the election.
My memory on the Friday, there was an election imminent. Remember?
That's why he did it.
That's right.
That's
on
why
the Friday, the Labor
it.
Government supported that tunnel because it was going to employ 10,000 people. On the Monday, the Labor government said, if you elect us, we won't do the tunnel, we'll cancel it. So somewhere on a weekend between a Friday and a Monday, there was a meeting with the Greens, wasn't there?
That's right. Then that's right. The swinging vote was the Green. They cancelled on behalf of that disgracefully ridiculous and incompetent and non-necessary party. And then they did exactly the same thing with the Commonwealth Games. They said, oh, we will get support from regional Victoria and that'll get us in. And then they cancelled the Games, which cost them $3 billion it was going to, and it cost them $500 million to pay them out. I digress.
Oh, yes. And the way they're cancelling things these days, you know, how much did that injecting room... The report that was commissioned over a year ago by Daniel Andrews, Jacinta Andrews, has now
What we'll do is, and these are very good segues, and this is right up the alley, right up the alley of the person we're going to speak to, because he has been done over by a corrupt, dishonest and mendacious government from all levels, federal,
state...
Have usurped Ivan's point, who gave us a loaded question earlier on, but we won't mention what we were doing earlier on. What we were doing earlier on is we were talking for an hour before we realised we weren't recording it. So this is the second time we're doing this. So what a great segue to government waste and government corruption, because Ian Cook from iCook Foods is here, and the Dandenong Council who corruptly... and dishonestly put him out of business along with the state government by planting a slug on the floor of his kitchens so that they said it was unhygienic. They put him out of business so they could swing in their own government organisation called Community Chef and they're trying to weasel their way out of it, the Dandenong Council. And if anyone has a case to be heard about free enterprise having a leg to stand on in this state, as opposed to the socialist bullshit that's going on at the minute and the complete state of debt we're in here due to socialist tendencies, Ian Cook is part of the byproduct of a corrupt government. So how are we going, Ian?
Good day, Ian Cook.
Good day.
This is a terrible story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it's one of those things that...
Tell us the story from the beginning, Ian.
No, don't, not from the beginning.
If I actually tell you the whole story from the beginning, we'll be here for many hours.
Sam summed it up in terms of a planted thing, yeah, but that shut you down, didn't it?
That was part of it, and the slug is something that obviously gets the attention of a lot of people. At the end of the day, you had two health officers who basically came in, fabricated evidence, then they charged me. Between myself and the company, we had to face 96 charges. Now, it took until the October, so nearly a full year, I'm there, I can't trade. Everyone thinks, oh, well, he's been charged, therefore he's done something wrong. First day we walk into court, all the charges are withdrawn.
97 of them or something.
96.
96, correct. Pardon me.
Yep, bang, they're gone. Why? Apparently it was going to be too expensive to pursue me. What a load of rubbish.
And I mean, in the meantime, that puts him out of business, and they swing their own incompetent business in, Community Chef, which lasted a minute because the people running it had no experience. It was just a jobs for the boys. It was a jobs for the people.
Ian, what's the background of Community Chef?
So Community Chef was started with a grant by the then Infrastructure Minister, which was Anthony Albanese. He gave the state government $9 million. The state government then, they chipped in $6 million, and then a few councils put in a few hundred thousand dollars each, one of which was Dandenong. And when we were closed and put out of business, the chief executive of Dandenong City Council was a director of Community Chef. Now, that all went through. Community Chef then traded. It got to a point where the government wanted to pull Community Chef back into the health system, which they did, and they basically got given a business for nothing. Mm. You know, it was a buck a share for a few shares, that's all. But all the figures which we have show that right at that death knell, right when the state government is winding Community Chef into its own health system, they gave him another $3.5 million, which disappeared.
Dishonesty, corruption, deception, mendacity, prevarication. Pretenders who are on a power trip. But what they forget is that they can never remember the lies they tell, and it ends up catching up with them, and they are scammers. They are incompetent scammers trying to pretend they are the Sopranos, or they're some sort of like the mafia, and they are just nothing but shit kickers. They aren't.
Beautifully
they
are. Summed up.
They seriously. And perfectly viable and well-operated private enterprise bites the dust through socialist tendencies of corrupt governments.
You know, we have to continue this struggle, and part of it, we were in court yesterday because Dandenong is trying to have the malicious prosecution struck out. Now, if these two officers did nothing wrong, then it should go to court and it should be heard by the court in open court with cross-examination, with the right questions asked. Mm. That's what should happen. They're trying to stop that. It's part of the cover-up.
Yes.
So a judge is going to make this decision, isn't it, whether it goes forward or not? So here's the other thing that is going on, not only here but over on the other side of the world with the Trump saga. And I know you roll your eyes up at the Trump saga, but if you want to see politically appointed judges and solicitors and attorneys running a dishonest campaign, it all depends who appoints the judges in this and whether they're biased or not. They can look at the facts and say that, no, this is not right. Don't worry about who appointed me or what my political persuasion is or my leanings are. If you follow the rule of law and the evidence that's before you, you can come to no other conclusion. Mm. but they will prevaricate and look at it and try and sweet her. I don't know what they'll do, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt before this decision comes down.
When is she going to come down with the decision?
Is it a she?
It is a she, isn't it?
Yes. Associate Justice Carolyn Dugan?
Yes. Yeah. And the decision is imminent, is it?
Well, she heard it all yesterday. She's reserved her judgment, which means she'll go away and examine the...
Now, were you going to say something, Rowan? This is Rowan.
Rowan!
Hey, Sam, how are you?
Hey, Rowan.
Good to see you, mate.
Speak in the microphone, Rowan, please.
To be fair to the judge, she was incredibly reasonable yesterday.
And she was.
Actually listened to the evidence. Really clever.
Rowan, yep. I wasn't... I didn't even know who the judge was. Casting dispersions?
Yep.
Of course. Or aspersions?
Aspersions.
Aspersions. I wasn't casting aspersions against the judge. I'm just saying this is the battle with what goes on when you take things to court. It becomes a political football game.
Correct. And putting this judge to one side, Labor's been in power in Victoria for 20 years. They've appointed a lot of judges, right? And so most of them are political appointees. And you are seeing, I mean, the High Court loves overturning Victorian Supreme Court decisions because the Supreme Court in Victoria does seem to come out politically one way all the time. I agree with you. But in this particular case, I think the judge was very fair.
Yes, good. We're making no comment about the particular judge at all.
Is there a light at the end of this tunnel?
There is. And this is the point that I think Ian was trying to make, is that throughout the five-year saga he's been through, and I've been helping him with for 5 years through, these two council officers have never been held to account. They've never been taken to a court under oath, under risk of perjury, and asked what happened. Right, they've had parliamentary inquiry. It's not the same thing, right? They've never been in court. And I think this is the importance of this case. Finally, somebody gets to say, what actually happened with the slug? What happened with these fake documents? What happened with this video you edited? These photos you changed? Why did you change them? These questions have never been asked, and they need to be under oath.
What they have been asked?
Not to them.
Not to the principals involved. That's right, because they protect them from having to perjure themselves, and you can be put in jail for perjury.
That's right, you can go to jail.
Yeah, so it's a whole field of deception and corruption, and it really annoys you because...
And that's why they're trying to kill the case now. They want to stop it before it happens, because if they get into the witness box and they lie, they're in real trouble.
Yeah, and you might have a very fair judge that looks at this and says, nope, I don't care who appointed me, this is wrong. Not the one we're talking about, but any judge.
Ian.
Yeah, well, we will keep the struggle going as best we can.
But this must cost you. You'd have to have deep pockets to do what you're doing.
Well, in actual fact, they've pretty much cleaned out my pockets.
Yeah.
And
so you're pursuing this on principle?
Yes.
And, of course, compensation if you can get it.
Absolutely. And it's also to stop it happening to someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, iCook Foods was destroyed because they wanted to destroy it. I mean, theoretically, if you take what Sutton did, that could happen to any business. I mean, Sutton closed iCook Foods for unsafe and unsuitable food. He had no evidence. The only thing they had was a detection of listeria. Now, if you were going to close a business because of the detection of listeria, you're going to start shutting Coles. Mm. They were selling rock melons that had it. If you went through any fruit and veg shop, listeria is ubiquitous. It's in root vegetables, you'll find it. When they actually did the test to see if the level of listeria was dangerous, they found that our food was completely safe. Now, did Sutton come out and say, gee, I made a mistake, quick, open them up again? No, they doubled down, they kept us closed, they charged me, which meant for a whole year people thought that we had done the wrong thing.
And did they not try and link the death of someone in a nursing home to the fact that it was your food that was supplied to them, and that was absolutely incorrect?
Yeah. Correct. That's it.
Yes.
And
so they tried to go to that extent,
Greg. They tried to make him out to be a murderer.
They tried to link that, and they didn't even supply the food to the establishment.
Well, we did supply some food to that hospital. The point is that they got a report from a health inspector from Knox City Council. His name was Ray Christie. Ray Christie sent them a report the Thursday night they closed us and said she didn't eat any of iCook Foods' food.
Well,
that's what he got from the hospital when he went in.
Before the closure. So they knew before they closed him that there was no connection.
Well, there we are. It's extraordinary, Greg. This is the corruption of governments and people who are just nothing more than pretenders.
Well, yeah, I mean, we will keep pursuing it as best we can. In amongst your listeners, by the way, we are probably going to get to a stage shortly where we, and I don't know how to do this, but see if we can find some angel investors or someone who can help. Because
GoFundMe, yes. You're allowed to do that? Days or not?
I think so, yep.
GoFundMe.
Yeah. Well, that's it, because so far I've used all the money I had plus all my super in court, and part of the game plan for these people is just to keep, you know, keep that's putting right. these things yeah. up, because every time you have an application, every time you have to turn up to court, money. It's another 10,000, it's another 15,000, and away it goes. And we're not just fighting for our rights and our employees' rights, because there's a number of people that were very badly hurt out of all of this, not just myself and my family, but it's, like I said before, we have to make sure that this can't happen again.
Yes.
And
principle of it all.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, you're welcome anytime to come by and tell
keep
us how
us posted.
Things are going, because...
What's next, by the way? We just wait for this...
We've got to wait for this to happen. We are working on... we're working on documentation for an appeal. I don't know whether they'll let me do it, but that was for the other case, for the one against Sutton, because there were some serious errors in law there, and we need to... They should be talked about. But hopefully we'll get that underway.
But the case I think the public would care about the most is the malicious prosecution case.
Yes.
Because that's when the people who have done the things that we've all heard about have to answer to it. Mm. So that'll be the showbiz time. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, good on you. Thank you, Rowan. Thank you, Ian. You'll keep us informed.
We will.
Hey?
Yes.
Yep,
more than good on you.
Thank you both very much. Sam, I did actually go to the theatre last week because it was my birthday. And
it was your birthday?
It was. And
what? When?
Oh, last week, the 17th or whatever.
Man, oh man. Well, it's correct, Greg. You know, I've known you for all your life. I've known you since you were born. We were in the same crib at the hospital.
I know, I remember. I had to get up and turn the alarm off. It was very early in the morning that I was born.
I'm so sorry. That's the way I travel these days, Greg. I'm so sorry. I don't care what you're going to say after
Badger
this.
Badger bought me tickets to see one of my favourite musicals, Chicago.
Wow.
Which is now playing for a limited time at the at Her Majesty's Theatre.
Yes.
And by God, it was good, Sam.
Was it?
Well, the songs, the dancing, the choreography.
One.
And
what's one of the songs?
You could use it on this program, All That Jazz. That's what it is, Ivan. And All That Jazz.
Who sang that originally in that Broadway
The original
production?
Broadway production
yes.
in 1975.
Ivan's very good at Googling.
Who was in Chicago at the moment? Who were
the role of Velma Kelly, the character who sings that song, opens
Carol
with
Channing,
it, is
did she
Zoe
sing
Ventura.
Oh, yes.
And Zoe, you'd remember from Pack to the Rafters, I think it was, and said she's a great actress.
Great actress.
By God, can she sing and dance as well?
Got a good set of lungs.
Oh, she does, and she proved that. But the timing, you know, Roxy Hart, of course, is the lead character of the show, and Lucy Maunder played that role, and honestly, I mean, I'm Unco. I can't even do aerobics, but these people, they dance at a speed
sing
that
and
you
dance.
Wouldn't believe, and sing and remember their lines, and they do it to the... Oh, it's just the orchestra is just fabulous.
Look no further than the person overseeing
yes.
all this production, dancing and
you
aerobics.
You could play the role of Roxy
singing.
Hart yourself,
Holy
Sue.
Shit. Wow.
And have you ever heard the song Mr. Cellophane? Nobody knows my name, I'm Mr. Cellophane. You can look right through me.
No?
Peter Rosenthorne plays that part in this particular production. And
he's good.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's good.
Every song is great.
He sang All That Jazz originally.
No. All That Jazz is a song from the 1975 musical Chicago. Mm.
And who sang the song?
Well, it's someone on Broadway.
No, but there was a famous person. I hear it on the radio quite often on the
music,
station I listen
John
to.
John Kander, if you've...
John? And the lyrics are by... lyrics are by... Oh, I'm drawing this out.
No, you've,
Fred Ebb. Have you heard of him?
Fred Ebb, you idiot.
But you are looking for the original character who played Velma Kelly in the Broadway production, I'm sure. Who was she? We don't know.
Now, so I don't want to usurp you, Greg, but I, the last stage, this is a bit lost in translation because I've already done this one.
Let me guess. Joseph.
Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Well, I saw that in London and it was Neighbours, Jason Donovan.
Yeah, that's right.
So...
Well,
oh, this was a recent production.
This was a recent production here a couple of years ago, and Shane Crawford played, I think, the Pharaoh.
Great.
I think he played.
Was he good?
He was fantastic. Of course, the critics panned him and said he couldn't sing. Well, he could sing. He was in tune, and he was good. He was very good. And anyhow, I went along and saw it. And I went backstage because he said, come backstage and meet the cast, the most eclectic group of humans I've ever met. They were fantastic people. There were trans people. There were lesbians. There were gay people married to one another. There were heterosexuals. I'm not sure if there's any heterosexuals.
What about abrosexuals? Was there any of
there
them?
There was pansexuals.
Abro? I've never heard of that one.
Pansexuals. There was... we covered the whole gambit. And
speaking of that, was Don with you?
Don was with us.
There we go.
Yep, Don. He was in a different sexual category himself. I don't know. He was on a. He was. I think he was a metrosexual. Anyhow, Shane said, "Oh, Sam's got a boat. Why don't we, when the show finishes, all come out on the weekend or one day?" And I said, "Yeah, that'd be good." Oh, I say, "Bugger me dead." Shane rings me up and said, "Now we're all coming out in the boat. There's about how many of them? There's about 30 of them." Well, we got on the boat. They were fantastic people. They pulled and dragged and bagged and shagged me for the whole trip. They sent me on my way rejoicing with my watch coat under my arm. They sent me up into the flybridge and they took over the boat and they sang and got pissed. Jeez. And they were fantastic people.
Yes.
So they were fantastic people. I was the only straight person on the boat. I'm not sure about Shane. I think he's even turned. And it was fantastic.
Well, of course, with a cast like that, you know, you must get very close, as would be this current production of Chicago. Anthony Warlow plays the lawyer Billy Finn in the Flynn in the show, and you can just only imagine how close that cast must be. Not to mention the ensemble and the dancing. But I just wanted to give them all a shout out. They were so good, Chicago. It's got a limited run in Melbourne. I think then it's off to Sydney, but go and see it, Sue. You would love it. You would love the speed of the choreography.
I know. I remember, did Caroline O'Connor play that in one of those parts? I think she was Moulin Rouge, but I think she was in Chicago, the original. Moulin Rouge, I have seen it before, but I haven't seen this one.
Right, yes. There was a production here in 2020, really? Which was just fantastic as well. So
expensive?
Oh. Expensive. Well,
ticket... Stingy.
So when it was announced that Chicago was opening in March of 2024, tickets went on sale in August of 2023. So you go to Ticketmaster, Ivan, and it says, you want to sit down in the stalls, which is the best place to sit, down on the same level as the stage, $169 a seat. And you book and pay in August, but you don't get to see it until next March.
So they've got your money for?
Got your money for
12 months. That's a good business model as well.
That's the way it works.
How do you reckon I'm going to go dragging him along to Chicago?
Yeah, well, I think you and I'll do that. We'll go this afternoon and we'll just sneak off and have a
rendezvous.
So I wasn't going to bring this up and cut into Ian Cook's valuable time, but about government waste and government corruption and oversight and overrun. I just read that the $14 billion Westgate Tunnel project, which is $4 billion over budget, is now pushed back because they can't get it finished on the third or fourth time they said that it would be finished. Can you waste any more of our money? And if you want a classic example, just I know it's just petty cash. If you've ever driven under the Westgate Bridge Tunnel that goes under the Arrow River, it's called the tunnel. What's it called?
What is it called?
Under the Westgate.
No. Well, not under the West. It comes off the West Coast.
Under the Yarra.
It's under the Yarra. It's called the tunnel.
Yeah. Domain? Domain. Whatever. Domain tunnel.
They have installed a series of lights that follow your car.
Yeah, the green lights.
Green lights. Yeah. If you've ever considered how much money you could waste on nonsensical projects, usually in peak hour the traffic is bumper to bumper, so the lights are just completely non-relevant because you can't drive at any speed, let alone the 80 that they're meant to be designated at. And if there is no traffic, you don't need lights to tell you that you're driving at 80 because you have a speedometer in your car, and if you drive any quicker you get booked because they have detection zones. Whoever thought that they'll put lights in a tunnel, that costs millions of dollars to do it. This is either people just dipping their snouts into the trough and giving jobs to people who think, oh, I'll tell you what we'll do here. This is a friend of mine's company. Let's just build some lights and we'll get a holiday house out of it. It is just the most nonsensical crap you've ever seen. And this is just – and you said Ms. Allen, the Premier. Oh,
I call her Jacinta – Andrews, but nevertheless, she's now cancelled the injecting room in Melbourne. They paid $40 million for a building for it, then commissioned a report to find out whether we needed it or not. God knows what that report cost.
Heaps.
They sat on the results of that report for over a year. And what is it this week? The report's come out and said, yeah, you should build the injecting room. Yeah, you need it. And she's gone, nah, we're not going to do that.
Why do you think she said that? We're not going to do it.
There'll be other reasons, for
Among
sure.
Others,
there's other reasons. Well, one of them is the right reason is we're broke. We are broke. Victoria is in just a horrible position.
Did you know we borrowed money to pay the interest on our debt?
God knows what that interest
that per is
week
incredible.
Is. But it was released this week that Labor government, the debt, is forecast to hit $178 billion by 2027. That's the amount of debt that this state is in. We employ governments, we vote for them, but in fact we employ them to run the books, you know, to look after law and order, to look after education, and to run the books. If this government was a private company, you'd sack them, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Straight away. And we get the chance to do that and an election. And what happens? What did we do at the last state election?
We vote them in harder.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's because that's how we roll in Victoria.
Oh, gee, we're smarter, we down here in this state.
This is a democracy, and if not enough people are ticked off and they keep getting back in, you can whinge about it, but unless you try and want to overthrow the government by a coup or get the army to run them out of town, we are lucky in this country we don't have political, sporting or religious wars. Have a look at what's going on around the world, and we are probably just in this little island down here at the bottom of the world that no one knows about. We're probably pretty lucky, whinging and all as we do. And
allowed to whinge, though.
We are allowed to whinge as long as we just whinge and don't take up arms, which mightn't be long shortly if it keeps going the way it is. No, it won't be. There's a whole lot of things. I'm not sure what your order. I'll get accused of. And the reason I mention these things, I'll get accused of racism here.
I think there's a Trumpism coming along, Ivan.
No, Trump. Have a look at what.
Don't roll your eyes.
Me on Trump.
He sees it.
So I'll get accused of racism,
it's when his face goes red and his eyebrows lift, and you know there's something about Trump coming up.
The very fact that gets my attention about these things, because we were done over, and I've said this before, I don't care what you say, we were done over by McLaughlin and his little lawyer mate about vilifying Nikki Winmar here by even suggesting to have a conversation as to why lifties jumped her up out at Victoria Park. Mm. We said, if he says that's what it was about, his skin colour, that's what it was about. But we got charged for even discussing it, because the majority of people there said they didn't think it was about that. So you wonder why I get uptight about when any of these things come. We're not racists, but I tell you what, we've got to push back on some of the nonsense that goes on. I see there's a group of people now wanting to ban people going on the Lake Eyre, the part of Lake Eyre which is called Katy Thander Lake Eyre Lake. They said no, you can't go on there anymore now because it's sacred land. And so my point is, I think the people who were here before us in this country have been here for 40 or 60,000 years. 60,000 years. Last week they decided this was a sacred site. Why would it take 60,000 years to decide? So the lake floods. Every 10 years it floods, and they don't want people to go onto the lake bed because they say there's some value, there's some heritage and ancestry got to be... So it's just where we just getting rolled over on. And they said the only way you can look at the lake now is from the air or from viewing platforms. You can't go fishing on it. You can't do anything. It is just another grab for being for just belting us over the head. We are all Australians. We want to enjoy the company of all Australians and go out and enjoy this country without having these things continually come up. Now, you can't climb up the Arapiles Mountains at the up in the Grampians. You can't, they've
the rock.
Ayers Rock.
You can't climb up
Ayers
Rock. You can't. I notice I go up to the King's Domain there in near the Botanical Gardens, and our friends have taken over the
Botanic Gardens, by the way.
Oh, Botanic Gardens. Oh, thank
botanic.
You. Botanic. Botanical. Not yes. Botanical.
No, not Botanical Gardens. Okay, they are the Botanic Gardens.
Okay, that
there are botanical gardens in St Kilda. There are, but these ones near the domain of the botanic. Okay,
that'd be the noun then, wouldn't it? Not the adjective.
Yeah, no, it'd be the adjective, wouldn't it? Adjective.
Adjective. No, the botanic is the noun, surely. Anyhow, here we go.
It's not the verb. There we go.
The Royal Botanic Gardens.
I was right.
Yep. He's been there.
Greg, I wasn't suggesting you weren't. I know you wouldn't be as vehement by suggesting something and if you knew you were wrong. Our friends, our fellow Australians have taken over the King's Domain. They've got a tent up there and they lit a fire in the middle of the gardens in a day which was a total fire ban. They had a little office there, and they were sitting and they were camping. They were just living there. And I thought, wow, that's extraordinary. Just why don't people say, now hang on a minute now, mate, or people, you can't do that. But no, why can't you go onto the lake when it floods? Or even if it doesn't flood, walk across it. Who decided?
Well, I don't think you can walk across it, can you?
Well, when it's flooded, you can't.
Well, no.
When it's
no,
a dry lake bed, you can.
But I think it's all full of salts and crystals. Yes. And yeah, you'll just and cut yourself to ribbons.
Campbell set the world speed record.
No, that was Bonneville.
Bonneville. Wasn't that Lake Eyre?
Wasn't that Bonneville?
No, you're talking about the fastest Indian.
Oh, no, that's
over
in America. No, that's in America. Yeah, Lake Bonneville. Eyre. No, that's quite right, Greg.
Yeah.
Lake Eyre. So
now we're not allowed on it. We were then, but we're not now.
Well, but exactly. Malcolm Campbell drove a car. You're not allowed. It says you can't drive cars, you can't fish, you can't walk across it unless you get permission. You can if you get permission. Mm. To do what? Mm. And who gives you permission? They said you can film it from the air.
From the air.
And you, they've got
a ring to it, hasn't it? See, Lake Eyre from the air.
From the air.
It's spelled different ways. But buy a ticket now.
Would you need a permit to fly over it?
Oh,
no.
I bet you do.
It's just another rort. It is a rort. I don't. And where we want to get on in harmony, we want to enjoy the whole country, which is our country. But really, after 40 or 60,000 years, don't tell us last week that it's you can't walk on it. For what does that mean?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Oh, good on
so
you.
So taking take him along to Chicago and cool him down, let him dance, that jazz.
Was there anyone in the audience there that was yelling out, crying like a baby? You know where I'm leading, don't you?
Yeah, you're into the Barker.
Yeah, the Arch Barker. Are we?
I don't know
if we want to talk about that.
No, what we don't want to talk about, you say? What a great thing to bring up, Ivan.
I think it is.
So Archie Barker, or whatever his name is, was doing his routine at the Comedy Festival somewhere.
Yep.
And there was a woman there, had a baby, and the baby was gurgling and bubbling, yep. and I don't think it was crying or screaming, but it was putting him off from his delivery.
Yes.
And good on him for pointing it out. Have you ever been to a restaurant where people take babies into restaurants and they scream at the top of their lungs and the parents sit there poking pacifiers into their mouth and trying to feed them and going goo, goo, goo to the baby who's almost shit itself and has gone into a rage, and you sit there and you think, what the fuck? Get the kid out onto the footpath or take it into the car and pacify it there. Don't fuck our night up or day up. And people say, oh, well, that's everyone has a right. No one has a right to actually disrupt the whole of a restaurant or the whole of a theatre by someone being discourteous enough to take children or infants into a premises. This is what I say. What do you say, Greg?
No, I'm in total agreement with you. I agree. Why would she have taken the baby? And secondly,
it's a bit selfish.
I heard Arj Barker respond to this, and he said, "But hang on a minute. This show is legally for under 15s aren't allowed in.
Correct.
So therefore, the baby." Presumed seven-month-old baby would fall into that category.
So, Greg.
But discourteous, that's the word.
Let me ask you this. Say you're officiating at a marriage, at celebrant, which you're a star.
It happens all the time. Baby's crying.
Right. And you're in the middle of delivering what you think is something that the bride and the groom would like to hear. Yep. They've paid you for your services. They've got decorations and they've got flower girls and they've got a bar set and the pristine. And there's a kid screaming its lungs out while you're trying to deliver the words that the people who've engaged you want to hear. Wouldn't it's extraordinary. Take the kid away out of earshot. It's like getting on a plane. You're a captive audience. Imagine if you're going over to America or England on a plane and you're sitting in the thinking, so you can't do much about it then. You can't. You have to put up with it, so you put the earphones on.
Yeah, and, that's a very good analogy. It is, and it often goes through my mind. And usually it's a couple that have been married before and they've got a new child, for example. And so this was a particularly glamorous wedding, a very, very, very nice wedding, held at one of the great spots in Melbourne. And everyone was dressed up. It was very formal, dinner suits and everything. But the couple getting married had a three-year-old girl, maybe four, who was very precocious and wanted to be the star of this show. So Dad was told to look after the baby in the front row, the young girl. And anyway, there's mum and dad getting married, and the young girl broke away and ran across to her mum and started pulling her mum's dress. So therefore, mum, the bride, picks up the little four-year-old girl, and the four-year-old girl grabs the mum's top and goes, rip!
No. Whoa.
And out come boobies. There at the wedding.
Yeah. The videographer's Jesus. Going,
I didn't know
zoom.
Which way to look. The father jumped under the chair. Everyone's going, oh, my God. And this is this is a result of children.
And you're trying to do what you're paid to do, is just do a proper ceremony there, and suddenly you've got an eye full of breast. And you said, let her do it. Keep her going. Yeah, rip her dress off too. Let's have a look at the minge. Let's have a look at the whole fucking box and dice. What the hell? It's gone this far. You might as well rip the whole lot out. And you can show us what you got. Show us your junk too, you could have said to the groom. Hey, let's all just get our clothes off and do it in the nude, seeing as the young kid's given us the lead. That would be a winner. Yeah. I'd be a winner. You'd go around the world. You'd go on TikTok.
Or
TikTok.
Maybe the video wouldn't see the light of day, that bit.
Because we've done this once before and we weren't recording it, I can't remember. Did I mention about the lights in the tunnel?
Yeah, you did. you forgot to hit the... I reckon it's nearly time to hit the stop.
No, we've been going for two hours.
No, we are
only recording.
I feel like I've been here a day. I've got plenty of other things to speak about, but I can't remember if I've spoken about them. So what we'll do is we'll sign off here. I'm not sure. Did I say about the Hume Highway, the diversion?
Yeah, you did. God, and you didn't realise that there's football tonight at the MCG. Before Anzac Day. Melbourne and Richmond will play.
That's right. And then I was going to get on to this dinky little game we call Australian Rules Football. Who's running it? Who's in charge of it? And could you fuck it up anymore? It exceeds and succeeds in spite of itself, and it always will. But honestly and truly... there's Laura Kane? Is she running it? Just on what basis would Laura Kane be running the football? She's probably a very competent person, but and probably the person before her wasn't as competent either. But we've got the rules, the ground. It's just a dinky little thing. They can't get it right. With all the controversy that goes on over it, does anyone overseeing it with some sort of authority, or is it just all pushed to different departments and they all put their fingers in it and it's just a maze of nonsense?
And it's been, well, I don't know, the administration. You have a look at the Melbourne Football Club, who was sent to Adelaide. I mean, who looks after the draw these days? They had to play two games over there, then come back and play another game. That was 13, that was three games in 13 days. I think St Kilda got it even worse than that, isn't it? You shouldn't have to play three games in 13 days. It's not mismanagement?
And
puts all this fixture together.
And if the person who is overseeing this, I don't know if that's Laura or not. If she is the runs the competition, does she run the competition?
I don't know.
No,
she does put the fixture out. I know that.
Does she?
Yep. Because I'm waiting for the fixture to be rubber stamped for game. For the later part of the game, so I can book some accommodation for somewhere or where I want to go. Come
and,
on, Laura.
And while we're on this, finally, Greg, I rang up an instrumentality. This will not only sound racist, but this will sound... Greg, please. We mention these things because the absolute majority of people resonate with what we say here. Mm. We're not racist, but we just had enough of just being pushed and pulled by pressure groups and activists for... no real reason. We get snowed. So I rang up this is not xenophobia. This is where you don't like a country at all. But I rang up an instrumentality and I spoke to this person for 40 minutes who was vaguely familiar with English, but it wasn't the person's main language. And I'm an Australian speaking English, and I know there's plenty of people here that don't speak English, but until we decide that English is not our native tongue here, welcome immigrants who grapple with English and they use their own language to speak to one another, but we are an English-speaking country. When you get put over to someone on the other side of the world to grapple with a problem about an instrumentality you've had trouble with, to try and explain it to someone who doesn't understand English is extraordinary. Why do people get employed to do that and frustrate the people who are their customers? This is all I ask. Could we have someone, maybe it might not even their second language, could it just someone who... English is not their third language. Yes. It'd be good if they just understood basic statements about your account, who you are, what your problem is, without pressing buttons and going to a different department. 40
we've all
minutes.
Been through. Everyone would agree with everything you've just said because we've all been through it. And it's just stupid. And did you get a result?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. No, the advice I was given, I went to another and they said, nope, you've come to the wrong department. And I'll say quickly, if I was on the other side of the world I was trying to tell someone in French how to speak,
excuse your French.
They would say, can't you speak French? I said, what sort of country? What are you trying to tell me if you don't know and understand the language? Mm. I'd say, you're quite right. Yep. Ferme la bouche, which means shut your mouth.
Right.
Funny you know that one.
Yeah.
I love when you call one of these telcos and everyone's working from home and you'll be on the...
Right.
Yeah, and there's birds... in the background. Yeah, so where are you in the botanical
gardens? I'm in the dandenongs. The botanic gardens.
We couldn't get the iPhone working. Do you remember we spoke that? And there's a bloke speaking to us from the Philippines. Yeah, I know he's from the Philippines because he said he was. He said he was in Manila. Is that where the Philippines is?
Yep.
And
you spend hours on the
Manila, country, Victoria.
There was a rooster going... in the background. After about fucking 5 minutes of this roost, I said, "Hey, mate." He said, yes, Mr. Newman. A very nice man. Did I take off his accent?
Sounds Indian.
There?
No.
Be careful of using the accent.
Shouldn't do the accent. He said, "Yes, Mr. Newman." Sort of words to that effect. I said, "Mate, could you tell the fucking rooster to shut? Could you give a hen to it? It's obviously Randy." He didn't understand that. He laughed, sort of. Anyhow, so that was it. So yeah, where did we get to there? All right, now we're gonna wind this up now because we are, and
we've had a big day, haven't we, Greg? It's big.
Unfortunately, we didn't record the first part of this, so we've tried to replicate what we said in the first.
I think the first one was better.
My jokes were better.
The first one is always better, Greg. It's always better because we're trying desperately to think of what we said, which I have done three times. Did I mention about the lights in the tunnel? What a fucking waste of money. All right, that's it.